From 89.7 WUWM, Milwaukee's NPR, this is Lake Effect. I'm Joy Powers. Today we'll learn what is and isn't allowed when voting in tomorrow's election.
You are welcome to look things up silently on your phone. That is definitely allowed. I encourage it. I have a horrible memory, and there's a lot of candidates on this ballot.
Then we'll hear from a group of voters with different views and experiences on how they're feeling about the presidential election.
There's no way that a Trump and Biden voter, like staunch Trump and Biden voters, could actually still feel like, yeah, let's go get a drink together. There's no way.
Plus, we'll hear new local music in this month's Milwaukee Music Roundup. All of that is coming up on Lake Effect. But first, here are today's headlines. This is Lake Effect from 89.7 WUWM, Milwaukee's NPR. I'm Joy Powers, and thank you so much for joining us. Tomorrow is Election Day in Wisconsin. Voters will be able to cast a ballot for presidential preference and a number of local races, including Milwaukee County Executive, Milwaukee Mayor, and Milwaukee City Attorney. There will also be some referendums on the ballot. There is a lot to know before you go to the polls, including the rules around what you can do while you're in the voting booth. To go over some of those things, WUWM Eric Vaughn Fellow Nadia Kelly is joined by the Executive Director of the Milwaukee Election Commission, Claire Woodall.
Before voters go to the polls to vote tomorrow, what are the most important things that they should consider when they're going to vote? Are there any important items they should bring, or do you have any tips for navigating the polls?
Yeah, the very most important thing you can do is check to make sure you're going to the correct polling place. So if you go to myvote.wi.gov and you click on Find My Polling Place, it will you'll put in your address where you live, and it'll pull up your neighborhood-specific polling place. So if you you should be voting from the address that you lived at a month before Election Day, so 4 weeks before Election Day. Otherwise, they're going to turn you away. The next thing you want to make sure you remember before you head out is to bring your photo ID with you. Wisconsin has a very strict photo ID law where you cannot use an out-of-state driver's license. You may only use Wisconsin driver's license or state ID, a U.S. passport, or a military ID, or about three or four other acceptable forms of photo ID.
If someone were to go to the polls and they needed help for whatever reason, what kind of things can a poll worker help them with?
If you need assistance, whether it's figuring out which ward you're in, or poll workers can help you complete a form if you're needing to register to vote, they can also assist if you maybe have escorted someone who needs to vote from the vehicle. We have curbside voting available, and an election worker can assist with that. They can basically assist with all parts of the voting process. If you had a disability and it was difficult for you to fill in those ovals on the ballot, a poll worker is happy to go with you into the voting booth and assist you how you want to vote. They would just sign as your assistant. But the other option that a lot of voters don't realize is we have these machines called express vote machines. They have a touch screen where you can enlarge the font. You can create a high contrast where it'll have a black background with white font. There are headphones that you can put on to hear and have the candidates be read aloud to you. And then there's also a Braille touch keypad. So the only thing that a poll worker cannot do really is to give you any guidance on how to vote. We can't answer any questions about the candidates, their viewpoints. And this election, there's three referendums on the ballot. And a lot of voters get frustrated because they're written in kind of complicated language. And unfortunately, the only thing the poll worker can do is to read the Type C notice to you, which is very frustrating. It's typical government where it just repeats the question in different language, but pretty much the same language. So if what I'd really recommend you do before you go vote tomorrow is to look up those referendum questions on the My Vote website. You can view a sample ballot and make sure you understand the referendum questions and have time to talk to your friends, your neighbors, look in the newspaper, do a quick Google so that you know what the referendum questions are asking and that you know how you want to vote.
Can you use your phone to look up information about candidates or to help you understand the referendums?
You are welcome to look things up silently on your phone. That is definitely allowed. I encourage it. I have a horrible memory, and there's a lot of candidates on this ballot. You can also bring in a paper sample ballot, pre-filled if you want, just a little note that tells you how you plan to vote. All of that is perfectly fine. The only thing you can't do in the polling place is talk out loud, like with a family member or a friend, where others could overhear about how you're going to vote or what your opinions are. But looking things up on your phone or pulling out a piece of paper is perfectly fine.
On that same topic with phones, so I'm thinking about like selfies and pictures, like taking pictures with your ballot, either with you in the picture with the ballot or like taking a picture of the ballot itself. Is that something that's allowed at the polls?
No, so you shouldn't take a picture of your ballot, especially not your voted ballot. But what we recommend you do is wait until you get that I voted sticker and take a selfie. You can take a selfie in the polling place, just don't cause a disturbance. But take a picture with your I voted sticker. You know, our right to vote is sacred and it's private, so there's no need to take a picture of how you voted. Limit those pictures to you, you know, giving a big thumbs up or something like that, and maybe highlighting that I voted sticker. Or, you know, give your chief inspector or your election worker a shout out and see if they'll take a photo with you as well.
I kind of want to go back to something you were talking about earlier, about talking to people in general about your vote. You say that isn't allowed. Like, why isn't that allowed? And is there like a specific reasoning why talking about your vote while you're voting isn't allowed?
Yeah, so it's the same reason why election workers can't really give you any advice on how to vote. Once you're in that polling place, it's really a sacred space. We really would discourage you from wearing hats, buttons, t-shirts, things like that. It's considered electioneering under state statute. And, you know, once you go into the polling place, everyone should have decided how to vote and not be influenced by anyone else. So that's why there are those laws. Electioneering prevents, there should not be anyone standing within 100 feet of the polling place encouraging you to vote one way or another. And that includes inside the polling place.
I didn't know that wearing campaign merchandise could also be considered advocating for a certain candidate. That's really interesting.
If it's an easy fix, like throwing on a jacket over a t-shirt or, you know, your hat, taking your hat off and sticking it in your pocket, someone might ask you to do that. But anytime we see that someone's accidentally violating the rules, the most important thing is we try to get them in and out with the least amount of attention so that they're having the least amount of impact or effect on that voting room.
Is there anything else that people should consider more along the lines of what you shouldn't do once you get to the polls?
No, you know, we want to be your voting experience to be positive, not to be scary. It's not a place with a lot of, you know, unknown rules or anything like that. And then just a reminder, I know it came up in the news last week, that if there's any concerns about your polling place, whether it's accessibility or just the location, please do not hesitate to contact the Election Commission. We learned just last week of a site that had some major damage to the parking lot, and there were giant lakes of water. And unless you tell us that, if it's not our property that we manage, we don't know that there could be an issue. And then the exciting thing that the City of Milwaukee is doing for the first time tomorrow is there will be a voter survey that every City of Milwaukee voter is welcome to take. It will ask you questions like, how long did you wait? Did you find parking? How difficult was the location to find? As well as just soliciting any type of feedback so that we can continue to improve your voting experience.
Is there anything else that you wanted to mention, anything helpful for voters who are wanting to vote in person for the election tomorrow?
One thing that we might sometimes take for granted living in Wisconsin is that we do live in a state where it's never too late to register to vote. So we have Election Day voter registration. If you've never voted in Wisconsin before, or you've moved since the last time you voted and you need to do an address update, you can still do that on Election Day. And that's not the case in very many states. The polls are open from 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. And so long as you're in line by 8 p.m., you will get to vote.
Claire Woodall is the executive director of the Milwaukee Election Commission. She spoke with WUWM Eric Vaughn fellow Nadia Kelly. If you need information about the candidates or the referendums you'll see on the ballot, you can find that information in our WUWM Voter Guide. WUWM hosted a voter roundtable last week. Coming up next, we'll hear part of that discussion and learn how voters with different political affiliations are feeling about the presidential election. That's coming up on Lake Effect on 89.7 WUWM, Milwaukee's NPR. You're listening to Lake Effect on 89.7 WUWM. I'm Joy Powers. As part of WUWM's election coverage, we wanted to understand how Wisconsin voters are feeling and what they're thinking about ahead of the presidential election. Last week, we hosted a roundtable discussion with five people with different political views and experiences, so we could learn from them and they could learn from each other. It was moderated by Lake Effect's Audrey Nowakowski and WUWM's Mayan Silver. The first part of the conversation aired on Lake Effect last Thursday. Now we'll hear the second half. We'd like to note you'll be hearing people express their own opinions, not those of WUWM.
So I'm wondering if each one of you could just sort of unpack where you're torn in terms of policy, where you think that one party doesn't necessarily speak to all your views on that particular topic. We'll start with Jody.
I think just being torn from the standpoint of being a Christian and looking at really intrinsic Christian values and, you know, how they sometimes conflict with both, you know, presidential candidates. And, you know, I think I've read so many sources that say young people are so worried about the economy. I think, what about breathing? You know, are you fond of breathing? And I just heard an advertisement about government control. And I think a couple of you mentioned that, that you're against so much government control. And I was driving in my car and they said, you know, now the government wants to regulate the kind of car that we drive. Are we going to let them do that? And I'm like, yes, because we're selfish. We can't make that decision on our own. And it was paid for by the American Petroleum Company. So I thought that was very funny. But just the discussions that I have at home with my husband from a Christian standpoint, it's a difficult election. It is.
John, would you like to share?
I mean, on an awful lot of issues, I'm guessing I share Gray's viewpoint of the world. But I also don't believe that Mr. Trump was a libertarian, advanced any of those causes. And one thing that Tracy mentioned, you know, two old white guys, you know, they were in high school at the same time. So we talk about one being a lot older than the other. They're not really not. But I think both of them have been an utter disaster as far as the national debt and leaving debt for my children to pay for. And forget, you know, COVID. Donald Trump was a disaster as far as the national debt before COVID. I mean, the issues, Donald Trump, I'm really not sure what he's in favor of. I know that he's in favor of, you know, raising social issues because they're divisive and they bring in his core supporters to him. And he's hoping that there's enough of them to be excited to win the election, you know, but I don't think I agree with President Biden on much of anything, other than perhaps, although I think he's handled most foreign policy issues bumblingly, I probably agree with him more on the safety of the world than I do with Mr. Trump, who has said that he wants to, what I believe, destabilize the world and leaving NATO and not supporting allies in Ukraine and democracy around the world. Very un-Republican position. So, you know, it's hard to pick on any one particular issue.
Yeah, you've said that, you know, the Ukraine funding has become political football, and that's something that you would probably, you know, align more with Democrats on that, for instance.
Correct.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that that's an easy issue that Republicans were very in favor of until Mr. Trump decided that that wasn't something that he wanted to get behind. And then all of a sudden, Republicans in Congress, like a group of lemmings, decided to change positions. We have polarized this country so much that very few of our elected representatives tell you what they actually think. And I also believe, now here's one where people who are Democrats aren't going to agree, but electing Donald Trump, at least for a long time, I think will hurt the Republican Party. I think if he loses, the Republican Party is more likely to re-examine that'll be four elections in a row where the Republican parties have gotten beat up, and maybe we need to go a different direction. I also think that helps the Democratic Party, because the more extreme the Republicans are, the more there tends to be an extreme element in the Democratic Party. You know, I used to think I was the most conservative guy in the room, and now I'm a rhino, apparently. But, you know, I just think we're messed up, and I think it's a bad situation we're in right now.
I'd echo that bad situation in this way. So to me, the question that you asked was very much, there is an appeal to me on the other side of the political ledger, a conservative voice. And that is a fiscal conservatism matters to me for our country. And it's also that the United States government get out of people's lives. And as a Native person, I completely own that. I only speak for myself. But I know what our tribal schools look like when we, as Native people, are in control of the education of our children. We can provide them the language that we believe is important to them so they can articulate themselves in this world rather than patterning themselves after something that's foreign to us. I also think that when I look out at the world and international relationships, I'm watching what's happening across the ocean, and it looks very familiar to me. It looks like a very large weaponized government going after indigenous people. And that Palestinian issue has me ask a lot of questions about what this government is about, in particular the Biden administration, because I understand it is a different religion than one I am used to. The religion I was raised in and know is that of a loving creation and a loving place, and that everything that we need in this world is provided by this earth. It isn't defined by exclusion. It isn't defined by us and them. And when I look across spaces and places, when people decide that one death deserves another, or a few deaths deserve more deaths, and I see images of starving children, people bombed out of their homes, it is very tough for me to look at that and say, this is a just society, and we are living in a just world. How much death is enough before there's justice?
I saw you nodding, Gray. Would you like to go next?
I don't know if I'd quite say I'm too horribly torn. I think as the daughter of a veteran, my dad was over in Iraq in 2003 and 2010. I was 3 and 10 at those times. Seeing Biden's pullout from Afghanistan was my first eye-opener, and that for me made me realize that the facade that he had placed upon the American people was quickly falling away. And I realized very quickly that this was not what I had voted for. And also with the divisiveness too, we can't even all proudly call ourselves Americans anymore. 20 years ago, you could vote for an opposite candidate from your neighbor and still go to the neighborhood block party and cookout. There's no way that a Trump and Biden voter, like staunch Trump and Biden voters, could actually still feel like, yeah, let's go get a drink together. There's no way. And I think it's incorrect to say that the Republican Party has at all shifted to the extremes. I think the Republican Party has stood for what it has stood for a very long time, traditional social values that are also conservative as well as fiscally. Obviously, there are types of us who differ on the foreign relations front. There are some who are more of the warmonger type, like Nikki Haley. There are some that are more anti-war, like Vivek. So that's another thing, too, I think that where John said that he feels the Republican Party left him, I feel that the Democratic Party left me. I was very much okay with, okay, fine, marry who you want, identify how you want. I don't care. It doesn't affect me or mine. That was sort of my mantra. And now it stood for things that are anti-scientific, completely anti-logical. I mean, to quote Orwell, the party is telling us to believe things that that directly contradict our eyes and our ears. So I feel the Republican Party is nor extremist nor has shifted. I feel in a dichotomy, actually, it would rather be the Democratic Party has shifted.
Tracy, would you like to tell us what's on your mind?
I don't believe that the Democratic Party has shifted. I think the Democratic Party is one that just has its hands in a lot of different things, and it's just kind of fumbling around to try to find its best footing to put all efforts forward to get that particular thing done and to the best of its abilities. The Republican Party right now, for me, is strange. It's one that's dangerous. It's one that I actually believe is saying, don't believe what your lying eyes are telling you, right? Anytime a party is telling me, overwhelmingly so, that they are pro-life, 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 and it's the same party that spends so many millions of dollars on the prison industrial complex, the same party who doesn't you find systems of like foster care systems that are severely underfunded. You find that there's money being made off of capital punishment. Well, to me, that's not pro-life, right? If you're pro-life, you are pro-life in every way. Then to me, that's just anti-abortion. I'd rather you just tell me you're anti-abortion. At one point, even sometimes now, I'll be the first person to say, well, I vote with the party that serves my interest. I don't have a loyalty to a party. The parties work for me. They need to have a loyalty to me. So if you're bringing forth a Black agenda that suits my needs for the brown and Black community, then I'm with you. You will have my vote, whether Republican or Democrat. Same is true for Democrats. But that's not something that I've seen. I feel like the Republican Party is taken off in ways that one could have imagined, especially from where I sit and from the history I come from. We could see that happening. And I feel like the Democratic Party is that party that is saying, well, we're going to make sure to play nice, even if playing nice hurts us in the long run. And that's where I believe the party is falling apart. I'm not saying that everybody has to throw mud, but I do believe that sometimes you got to grow a little hair on your chest and you got to stand up and you got to talk louder. So the Republican Party for me is gone. The Republican Party for me, you spoke of CRT, critical race theory. That's my literal history. For me, my education, I spent my education going to all white schools. No one in the class looks like me. I can remember being in class and we were having like a wall decorating contest. I'm going to put this in context. We're having a wall decorating contest and it was my job to create Mrs. Claus. And I went to a private Catholic school. My Mrs. Claus looked just like me. I found the perfect color crayon. She looked just like me. My Mrs. Claus caused so much commotion with going up onto the wall because she didn't look like Mr. Claus. I couldn't understand why that was such a problem. So when I hear about the debate, and I'm not even sure why it's debate, because our history is our history, good or bad. So when I hear about the debate of whether or not critical race theory is wrong, I want my grandchildren to know this happened. It wasn't my best moment. We all have moments that are not our best moments, but it happened and it made us who we are today. Without those best moments, our Constitution would never have been amended in the first place. So for me to hear them say, oh, critical race theory is so evil, it's so bad, things that are not so small like that turn into things that are huge. That is the departure of the Republican Party taking off for me.
Those things can be seen in our state of Wisconsin. The example would be our UW system and the idea that we did have folks who were in diversity programs to make sure that diversity was a part of every student's experience. And that was sold out. And that was sold out in exchange for what Republicans were withholding that was due to our education system, which was building structures for our students, giving professors and other people in the UW system the rates that they deserve to what the market should bear. And all of that was held up by a Republican Party. There was only objective in that was to get in the way of diversity and to say that race no longer exists in this country. And it is an interesting and, for me, an indefensible place for them to be. And it is difficult for me to hold Republican ideals that I have and equate that with what the Republican Party has become and to whom they're beholden to.
This is Like Effect's Audrey Nowakowski, and you're listening to WUWM's Voter Roundtable. We're hosting this discussion with five people with different political views and experiences to learn how they're feeling about this year's presidential election and what they want for our country over the next 4 years. Just a reminder that what you're hearing are the opinions of the individual participants and not those of WUWM.
I just want to open it up at this point to see if anybody has any takeaways from just this conversation from the 50 minutes that we've been sitting here and listening to each other.
Yeah, is this the most you've talked about it with other people? Like, do you find yourselves talking about the general political atmosphere with other people in your life? Or is this the first nice, long conversation you've had? John, we'll start with you.
Well, I have lots of conversations with people about politics, people I agree with and people I don't agree with. And as long as you approach it civilly, that's possible to do with a significant number, but not everybody, of people. But this conversation, frankly, is, in my mind, part of what's wrong with political conversations. We got stuck on two issues because those were issues that were important to some people at the table. Nothing wrong with that. But we didn't cover a whole lot of other issues. You know, race and the environment are not, but it's also what some of our politicians want to have us make as the primary issues in the world, as opposed to all the other things that are wrong with the world. I'm not diminishing race as an issue. I'm not diminishing the environment. And that may be your most important issue, and that race may be the way other people look at the world through the world's lens. I think they're both important issues, but in my mind, there's a whole lot of other issues that are far more important, and we didn't touch on them. It's very difficult because unstructured conversation always ends up in some corner as opposed to the, you know, having a coherent discussion. And I think that out in the rest of the world, that's where it becomes angry and ugly. And I think that that's one of the difficulties in having a conversation.
May I just respond to that really quickly? I can understand your viewpoint. I can empathize with your viewpoint, but I don't think that it might be as easy for you to empathize my viewpoint. My race affects where I work, where I can go get gas, where I can educate my children. It affects every facet of my life, so it is my life. It's not just about, you know, the cue of my, it literally is my whole life. Now, if I could show up in the world as a white man, I think we could all agree that life might be easier, but this is my whole entire life. And so I do have conversations, just going back to your questions, I have conversations like this all the time. And I think that it's a healthy start for our country because I have really close friends, and we're on totally different spectrums of politics. And yes, we will still go out for a drink. but it opens up our minds to broader experiences where we can all show up as ourselves. And maybe I might just have that much more empathy for you and understand where you're coming from and you understand where I'm going.
Thank you, Tracy. Any other takeaways from anyone who hasn't shared?
I was taken back to the 1960s in the American Indian Movement. And there was a guy by the name who, one of the founders of the American Indian Movement, Edward Benton Benet. And he used to say this thing that all creation stories are true. And it's when there's an exclusion of one over another that things begin to fall away. And that light bulb moment in that exchange of CRT was about individualism, that this is the end result of individualism. That it is a view, a singular view, that overtakes a view that takes us all in as a collective, as a we. And that ends somewhere. It ends with a person being alone. It ends with mental health issues, with people saying, where are my friends? Where are the people who are like me, who loves me? I feel alone in this world. And individualism does that. When somebody holds up someone and they don't see all of the other people that made that person who they were, the teachers, the people on the streets who were their garbage collectors, the people that helped them in their life when they were in need. We just see that one person with an individualistic view. And our elections cast us into this place where either it's either this one person or the other. And it's like we can't hold two views at once, or we can't give respect from one to another to say that when I hear the conversation of that race doesn't have a lot to do with you, John, that is an amazing place to be.
That oh, I didn't is, say that.
Yeah, it, within the view that is held, that that could be important to another person, but for you, there's so many other issues. That's a fantastic place to be, to sit in that place and have a privilege of saying that. That we're about the same age, and our experiences in this United States are completely different. And when you talk about your sons, I know that when you raise those boys, as I did mine, the conversations around what happens during a police stop
totally different.
Are completely different than the conversations you're probably having with your son, John. And it means, and it can mean life or death. That is a reality of this country. And that is a reality. And it is politics and individualism that has driven this division, because it places us into these divisive positions, and the polarizations is where we can't see each other. Or that when I hear your story and your faith, you know, I feel that faith and I know that it's true for you. And I am happy that there is an existence within you, that there is something greater than you. That is amazing. And that's what politics can be. But we haven't allowed for that for a very long time, that we can be greater than just the one.
Thank you, Mary. Jody, takeaways for you?
Really quick, my light bulb. When I came here, my first word, how I feel about the election, is nervous. And I think you all have changed that. You all are amazing. You're brilliant. You're educated. You're well-spoken. And I think no matter who wins this election, people like you are going to make good things happen, because it's not just our presidential candidates. They work for us. So I think just having all this insight and this exchange of views is very enlightening. And now I have to say I'm excited.
Thank you. Gray, for you, takeaways?
Yeah, I still feel like it's trending one way more than the other. I don't want to be Nostradamus and end up being wrong. So, but y'all can probably make your assumptions of where I think the election is going, or maybe not. But I still love having these conversations. I've been a part of a couple of roundtables, and it's just always good just to be able to actually sit down and kind of have a verbal drink with one another is really cool. It's cool being a really young person here. Not like everybody else isn't young, you guys. Not a day over 20.
This end of the table. No, okay.
Cheers. There was like this brilliant question about if we had questions for each other. So just as an older person, like I think, and I don't want to speak for you, John, but I'm interested in who I should be looking for in the next presidential election, of who excites Tracy and who excites you. Because I want to be looking for that next person. That's also hopeful, because it just doesn't end with this election, right? Yeah. There's another one coming, and I want to know the names that I may be missing out on, and you may know.
Thank you so much. All of you have given, you know, tremendous contributions to this conversation. You're interesting, you're thoughtful, you're well-spoken, as Jody said. We appreciate your willingness to talk with each other about your views, and we know that this is a contentious political time in general outside of these walls, but you've come here today and you've shared aspects of yourself, and that takes courage. And, you know, thank you very much for that. So, yeah.
Thank you all.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Cool.
Thank you.
That was a portion of WUWM's Voter Roundtable, which included John Wirth, Gray O'Leary-Hasmonic, Jody Kohler, Maren Webster-Denning, and Tracy Davis. It was moderated by Lake Effect's Audrey Nowakowski and WUWM's Mayan Silver. You can hear the full conversation at WUWM.com. And you can have a say in our 2024 election coverage by filling out our election survey. You can find the link at WUWM.com. What you tell us will help inform the stories you hear on Lake Effect and WUWM. Coming up, we'll hear some new songs from local musicians in this month's Milwaukee Music Roundup. That's next on Lake Effect on 89.7 WUWM, Milwaukee's NPR. Is Lake Effect on 89.7 WUWM. I'm Joy Powers. Spring has sprung, and along with the nicer weather, we're getting a deluge of new music from Milwaukee musicians. And as always, Matt Wild has been listening. Wild is the co-founder of Milwaukee Record, and every month he creates a list of some of the best new releases from local musicians called the Milwaukee Music Roundup. He joins me now to share a few of those songs. Matt Wild, thank you as always for being here on Lake Effect.
Thank you once again for having me.
I don't think I know any of the bands that we'll be talking about. It is a list of a lot of new music, of course, as always, but new musicians, at least to me. The first person we're going to be talking about is Allison Mahal, I'm guessing is how that's pronounced. Mm-hmm. And sometimes these songs are sent as just audio files. This one was actually a music video, and it's filmed at a place that has just reopened within, I think, the last year, Falcon Bowl.
Absolutely, yeah. The Falcon Bowl figures very heavily into the Allison Mahal story. This is, yes, artist who is very pretty new to the Milwaukee scene. Allison was born and raised in a suburb of Chicago, and when she turned 18, she moved down to Nashville, Tennessee, to kind of have a go of it down there in Nashville. And she was down in Nashville for about 7 years, and after 7 years decided that she kind of needed a change of scenery, a change of city, and wanted to move back to the Midwest, and ended up moving to Milwaukee. And specifically, the River West neighborhood of Milwaukee, which is where Falcon Bowl will come in here in a minute. Last year, Allison put out a really great debut album. It was called Not Over This Yet. Very chill, very just kind of lovely rendered kind of alt-country music. And that's very much in the style of the song we're going to be listening to right now. The song is called 18 Moving South. And as the title suggests, a very autobiographical song. It's about her at 18 moving down to Nashville. And she shot this video, which was actually a submission for a NPR Tiny Desk submission. She shot the video at Falcon Bowl. So kind of went above and beyond for the typical Tiny Desk submission. Didn't just, you know, shoot it in her living room or whatever. Went down to the Falcon Bowl and shot this really lovely video. And it's just a really lovely song. Really looking forward to hear more from her as she kind of settles into her life in Milwaukee. She's been here only for about a year and a half, and perhaps seeing some more videos shot at the Falcon Bowl. So this is Allison Mahal with 18 Moving South.
My therapist said I was experiencing disenfranchised grief. When I say it out loud, it sounds like a cop out for being 23. Where do I go from here if I can't move on? Will this past year bury me till I'm gone? Wish my dad still had his Jeep. I'd take it out now. Drive down side streets, top down to my best friend's house, singing cigarette daydreams until we grew up. Oh, the sugar and the people in this town. Or
I can count on one. 18, Moving South by Allison Mahal. The next song we're going to look at, great name. It's definitely a different vibe than the first song, which I would call kind of alt-country. I might call this next one maybe indie pop. It's a very now song. I'm not sure even what I mean by that, but it feels very of the current genre.
Absolutely. This it's very of the moment. I would say this band is one of those bands that's kind of very online. And I mean that in a good way. This is a new group. They are called Sure Thing. And the song we're going to be listening to is called PDA Now, as in Public Displays of Affection. And it's about just like kind of like saying, hey, you know what? I'm into PDA now. I'm just going to go all in and I'm just going to make out in public or whatever. It's a great, great title and a great band. The band is a duo. Casey O'Brien, she is the singer. She has been around the Milwaukee music scene for a little while. Her previous band was called Cineminiatures, and they were a, quote, all-girl punk rock holiday jam band. I remember them putting out a lot of Christmas covers around the holidays. And along with her in Sure Thing is Steven Strupp, who is a former member of, well, I shouldn't say former, because I don't think they're officially disbanded, but a member of Sat Night Duets. And I feel like we've talked about a lot of Sat Night Duets members in recent months putting out new music. So this is Steven from Sat Night Duets and other groups like Soda Road and Casey O'Brien. They have hooked up here, did this duo, Sure Thing, have been recording songs for the past like 4 or 5 years, I think, stretching back to like 2019. And are finally putting out the record now. It's a self-titled record. It just came out. It is really, really fantastic. And it's absolutely very much kind of very chill, very online, very, indie pop, I think is the way to describe it. But it is a really fantastic record. And it's a great song. We'll listen to it now. This is Sure Thing with the song PDA Now.
Sure Thing. The next group that we're going to talk about, you know, we were just talking about PDA Now. This is putting it all out there. The yes. Band is called Full Nude. I believe the album is also Free Nudes, which seems generous of them. tell us a bit about them.
Yes, Full Nude. Yeah, we really have a theme going this month for some reason. There's a weird through line here. But yes, this is Full Nude. The song we're going to be listening to is called Dot in the Dream House. And it is, yes, from their debut record, which is entitled Free Nudes. This is a new band, but it is made up of some Milwaukee music scene veterans. We have Maddie Moon kind of on guitars and lead vocals. She has been in a ton of past great Milwaukee bands like Heavy Hand, the New Blind Nationals going way, way back. We also have Sarah Long. She's been in great groups like Fari. And we have on drums the great Brock Gurley from groups like Blue Unit, Trusty Knife, and Full Disclosure was the drummer for my old band, Holy Mary Motor Club. So Brock, one of my good friends. Anyway, they have got together for this new group called Full Nude. And if you're into kind of early Sonic Youth, if you're into Built to Spill, I think you're going to find a lot to love here. And if you've been into any of these members' past groups, you'll find a lot to love here, too. Very kind of noisy at times, very discordant, but also very, very melodic. And I think Maddie is just such a terrific songwriter. She's always been fantastic. So Full Nude's been playing around for a couple of years now at this point, maybe 2 years, have finally got around to releasing a record. It's really, really great. And this is definitely my favorite song on that record. So this is Full Nude with Dot in the Dream House.
Let's make out forever. And stay up past 11. And dance with our shadows.
Dot in the Dream House by Full Nude. The final band, a little less sex-themed, although I will say you could construe Dogs in Ecstasy as having to do with that. But the song itself really spoke to me as someone who is in radio, and it talks a lot about radio.
Absolutely. And one of the reasons I chose this one, it happens to be my favorite song on this record, and I felt very appropriate for doing this radio spot. This is a new song from the great Dogs in Ecstasy. And talk about, calling a Sure Thing a very online band. Dogs in Ecstasy are very, very, very online. And haven't heard much from this great kind of indie synth pop group in a couple years. They put out, they were really busy for a number of years, but haven't put out a new record since 2020. But just recently, they put out, I guess it's not technically a new record, but it's a big collection of old demos. It's called Clear the Decks, Demos from the First 100 Years, Long May They Reign. And the song we're going to be listening to on that is called Podcasting. And I don't know, it seems like every month, I love all the songs that I talk about each month, but if I had to choose a favorite, and I know it's tough like choosing a favorite child, but if I had to choose a favorite, it would have to be this song. I have been listening to this song on near constant repeat for the past, 3 weeks or whatever it's been. It is very indicative of the rest of this Dogs in Ecstasy album. Very, very hooky, very, very crunchy and funny and weird and just gets into your brain. I really, really love this song. It will not leave my brain. Hopefully it will one of these days. So this is a great new song from Dogs in Ecstasy. It is called Podcasting.
There's a place where we can go, where everything is radio, and all our friends are there, podcasting. There's a place somewhere out there, it's beautiful beyond compare, somewhere beyond that paywall, podcasting. Won't you take me along when you go? Who would not, given the choice, choose to hear the human voice every single second, podcasting?
Podcasting by Dogs in Ecstasy. Well, Matt Wilde, thank you as always for joining us here on Lake Effect.
Thanks for having me.
It burns me inside, it burns me inside, I won't let go.
Matt Wilde is the co-founder of Milwaukee Record. Every month he publishes his Milwaukee Music Roundup, and he shares a few of those songs with us. You can find our previous conversations at WUWM.com. And the Milwaukee Music Roundup wraps up today's show. Thank you so much for being here with us. I'm Joy Powers. If you missed any of today's conversations, or if you'd like to take Lake Effect on the go, download our podcast. Search for Lake Effect wherever you get your podcasts to listen to all of our shows on demand. Tomorrow on Lake Effect, we'll get a preview of this year's Milwaukee Film Fest. Plus, we'll meet the Brookfield East senior, who was named this year's Wisconsin Journalist of the Year. That's all tomorrow at noon, right here on Lake Effect, on listener-supported 89.7 WUWM, Milwaukee's NPR.
There's a place where we can go, where everything